We are so fortunate to have Chenoa with us. Chenoa is a mission co-worker with the Presbyterian Church USA. And I know that a lot of us here at Montclair have been hearing the words joining hands for many, many years. We've been part of the network for over 10 years. And it's a rare opportunity when we get one of the Bolivian partners to come and be with us. So we're so grateful that Chenoa is here. And as we talked about how she can best give you some information, but also really share with you some of her passion, we came up with kind of a question and answer format. So I have the easy part. I get to ask the questions. Chenoa has the hard part, which is answering the questions. So, Chenoa, I wonder if you would tell us a bit about yourself and tell us how it is that you ended up personally in Bolivia.
First off, I'd just like to thank you all for having me here and for giving the introduction and sharing with you all. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm the daughter of two recently retired Presbyterian pastors. So the church and the idea of mission have always been in my life. But when it touched my heart, it was upon hearing a young adult volunteer speak at my university at Wittenberg in Ohio, sharing her experiences in doing mission abroad and all that she had learned. So feeling her stories resonate with my interests, I researched the program and decided that that is where I was called to be post-graduation. As the thought of going directly into a classroom with my education degree did not feel like my next step. So I was assigned to Kerala, India for a year, and it was my first long-term stint abroad. And I was enlightened by the ways of another culture, enlightened by seeing myself within this culture and growing through my understandings, enlightened by learning and witnessing the effects of globalization in which my country was the key exploitative factor, and seeing all of this through a Christian lens of a call for love and justice for our global neighbors. After returning home and half-heartedly looking for a proper teaching job, Presbyterian Church called me and asked if I would like to help create and work with the newly formed Sri Lankan Joining Hands Network. As this call of global mission was planted in my heart in India, I took the position and worked with the Praja Abhilasha Network for 4 years as facilitator, learning about and supporting their issues of land rights and walking with them in their search for justice. And as I was finishing my term in Sri Lanka, I was told the position in Bolivia was open. Though in daily life, I'm an uber planner, I've always had trust in a path set before me in the bigger picture of life. And so with a new challenge placed in my path and a completely new place to carry out the Joining Hands model of mission in partnership, I moved to Bolivia in January 2011. I studied 5 months at the Marino Language Institute in Cochabamba, Bolivia, and then began my work with Uma Vida, the Bolivian Joining Hands Network, last August. I could never have told you 5 years ago this is where I'd be, but it is a path and a call of justice for my life that cannot be denied.
Great, thank you. And I wonder if you could, not everybody knows how it is that Bolivia became a part of the Joining Hands Network. Now it's been 11 years ago?
Just about.
Yeah. So how did Bolivia come to be a part of that network?
So Bolivia, which is a recently named plurinational state, and has this diverse indigenous population nestled in the Andes Mountains, as we talked about with the kids, and they're in a continual struggle with water, water rights, water treatment, water access, water contamination. Therefore, the Joining Hands Network formed in 2001 to face these issues, to join with other alliances and community groups, to tell the government and international corporations that somebody is watching them, to hold them accountable in their practices and operations in their local communities. Joining Hands is a program of the Presbyterian Hunger Program, which brings together country networks and U.S. presbyteries in partnership around these campaigns. The focus issue of a given country could be around one or more of 5 different issues: water privatization and pollution, land grabs by corporations and governments, trade imbalances, exploitative practices within the extractive industries, and the loss of local control of the food supply or food sovereignty.
Great. And what is the Bolivia partnership called, and can you tell us a little bit about it?
In Bolivia, there are churches as well as community groups who are connected to this city and this presbytery due to a partnership with Uma Vida, Joining Hands for Life, which is Uniendo Manos por la Vida. It's a network of 9 community groups comprised of 3 churches and 6 community and grassroots groups who have come together to focus on campaigns around water rights. Uma Vida is one of 8 networks of Joining Hands who are working on campaigns to address root and systemic causes of hunger, poverty, and injustice in their respective countries and letting governments and international corporations know they are being watched. But within this watch, we all know the work of these corporations is not only in one place or in one country as globalization goes. Within the questioning of these systemic structures, which prevents so many from having control to receive things on their own, we need partners outside of our own countries. We need to see that the church and the states, our presbyteries, can help in ways in which local communities are unable, especially when there is a policy or practice that is affecting a community, and that policy or practice is perpetrated by a company or law coming from the United States. When a church in the U.S. develops a partnership with this community, gets to know their story on a personal basis, they're able to see the problem and can strengthen the advocacy in Bolivia with the advocacy in the U.S. In this way, laws and practices have been changed, and not only in that community, but in the whole country, as these policies and practices extend well beyond one single community or region. So this is partnership, and this is joining hands. We are building long-term relationships that go beyond development projects, but partnerships that are looking forward, together, in solidarity, for development of the structures of society, of the policies and practices within them. And this is why Uma Vida has a partnership with Cascades Presbyterian Oregon and San Francisco Presbytery here. They are engaging with us in the advocacy of our water campaign, Fresh Water is Worth More Than Gold.
So what you've just described to us is a completely different model for mission partnership than what many of us kind of grew up with, which is people would be sent to a different country to evangelize, in many cases convert not only to a particular religion, so in our case, convert people to Jesus, but also to convert people to an American way of life or, you know, an American way of living. So this partnership is completely different, it sounds like. And I wonder if you could share with us, I mean, it's a long-term partnership. It's one that's supposed to impact us and them. So is there any good news coming out of this partnership?
Surely there is. And I'll explain that just by telling a little story of something that is going on right now with Uma Vida in Bolivia. Esto no es vida. This is not life. Were the words that continued to leave Dr. Fernando Serrano's mouth as we visited the contamination surrounding the mining sites of Oruro, Bolivia, a city filled with mining operations of mostly tin and gold, but operations that are not only outside of the city, but in the outskirts of the city center also, polluting any agriculture and health it comes upon. Dr. Fernando Serrano, a professor of environmental and occupational health for St. Louis University, was visiting these contaminated sites as a response to a request by a few congregations of San Francisco and Cascades Presbyteries. Now, you might ask, what interest would U.S. presbyteries have in a small mining city of Bolivia, South America? I can't answer directly for them, but I would say first and foremost, a sense of call to love our global neighbors, a call to advocate for environmental justice, a call to restore the wholeness of God's creation, not only locally, but in those places where their country's government, their policies, their transnational corporations affect the marginalized and vulnerable communities of developing countries. Which takes us back to Dr. Serrano and Oruro, a connection which was made by our partners here in San Francisco. In Oruro, the government is carrying out the first environmental audit in Bolivia on the Corricoyo mining operations, Corricoyo meaning hill of gold. This operation has had more than 24 years of gold and silver extraction, and has affected numerous communities in its vicinity, as well as those situated around the surrounding banks of the Desaguadero and Popo rivers. It is an open pit mining operation, with 88% of the investments being exploited by the U.S. Mining Corporation, which has its Newmont Mining Corporation, which has its headquarters in Colorado. Though it is now run by Inti Raymi, a Bolivian partner, we believe Newmont still has connections to the operations. And these are operations which are leaking cyanide into the community lands and water, creating a salination of land and water, a decrease of the fish agriculture, loss of vegetation for feeding their animals, and provoking sedimentation by sending dust particles into the air. Due to these issues, which none of them are minor, an environmental audit was called, and in 2009 it finally began. Throughout this period, one partner organization of Uma Vida began working with a community group to watch the auditing company closely and be there with questions and commentaries when needed throughout the entire process. Uma Vida also supported their initiative to carry out a parallel audit with the Oruro Technical University in order to have a second set of data to compare with a government audit, just in case, with the reputation of a corrupt government. Now, about 3 years later, after many delays and postponements by both the government and the auditing engineering company, the audit is due to be released this month. With anticipation for the results, we, with our partner U.S. Presbyteries, have begun planning an advocacy campaign for follow-up and dissemination of these results. Dr. Sergiano was invited to Bolivia this past April to learn more about this process, as well as help us in the follow-up campaign, and to also assess if he could help us with a human health audit, as this is one aspect that is not covered in the government audit. So as we visited the local communities of the Coricoyo area, we met Prima Vita, an animated member of the Tomatoma community who told us that their water was constantly contaminated, if they even had any that day, that they sometimes had to travel long distances to collect water, that the growth of their crops and their livestock were affected greatly by the contamination, and that in spite of having talked with the government, nothing has changed to improve their lifestyle and livelihood. And all of this occurring upon the arrival of the Coricoyo mine. And this is why we of Uma Vida and our U.S. Presbytery partners, such as you all in Montclair, are working together for this mining city of Oruro. It is a choice which we have made to engage in the process of mutual transformation through partnership and advocacy, both locally and internationally, to follow out the call of Jesus in caring for our global neighbors and restoring the wholeness of God's creation. For an example, there's a proverb: if you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. If you teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime. But within our mission of partnership and advocacy of joining hands, we move to the next question. Well, what if that lake is contaminated by nearby mining or business operations? What if somebody one day comes and takes control of the lake where they're fishing from the local owners and they no longer have access? What if the price of the fishing pools are suddenly increased due to a change in the global market? These are the questions we're confronting.
Excellent, thank you. And one question that I know everybody is probably very interested in is, most of us can't travel to Bolivia. So if we can't travel to Bolivia, how can we be involved in a meaningful way if we want to be involved without actually going there and kind of getting a sense of the people and what exactly is going on?
Yeah, very true that not everyone will be able to go to Bolivia. But actually what we'll really need now is the ground support from you all who are here in the States. As we await the results of the audit, we may need you all to write letters to your government leaders, calling them to demand the release of the audit after so many postponements. In these past days when I've been here with my Bolivian colleagues and our partners here, we've visited and we've made contact with some of your government representatives, so having you all as their constituents calling on them and putting pressure on them to act could definitely get the Bolivian government's attention in carrying out their defined laws. Other opportunities where your support and action will be necessary will occur once the audit is released, calling for the assurance that what is stated in the audit in terms of remediation and compensation is carried out. This could also take the form of writing or making phone calls to your government representatives. Though this does not seem like great, great action, this is how change starts. One voice, one member of the body, as we heard in Romans, joining with other voices, other members of the body, to create a cry so loud that they have no choice but to listen and change. And this may be to the government, this may be to the Newmont Mining Company here in the States, but either way, your action will be needed and is necessary. And if mining isn't exactly where your passion lies, joining hands, as I mentioned, is a global network and is now emphasizing the need to make connections and identify the common themes between country network issues. We are now being encouraged as a way to support our sister networks to become involved in their campaigns in whatever way possible, as a way to educate ourselves on these issues in countries new to us, as well as to support them and add more voices to their struggle from our own local churches. So to learn more about these issues, and if your interests lie there, such as food sovereignty in El Salvador, or land grabs in Africa, or if you simply want to learn more about joining hands, you can always talk to your Joining Hands Committee here at Montclair and join them for their monthly meetings, which are always open to anyone with interest or questions or curiosity. Or Joining Hands also sends out a quarterly e-newsletter, which you can subscribe to and receive a couple of times, three or four times a year. I send out newsletters also as a PCUSA mission co-worker, so you can also be added to my list just to get a more personal view of what's going on in the country with UMAVIDA. There's always the Joining Hands website on the PCUSA website, or we as UMAVIDA send out newsletters also, so there are many ways of receiving that information. Because as I said, involvement begins by spreading the word, which can only happen once you know and understand the message. And within these global issues, there's an endless amount of information which one can study, learn, and share. And of course, prayers are always a beautiful foundation to begin one's involvement for your own discernment and for the work and mission of the U.S. and global partner. Mm.
So the last question for you today, which may be one of the more difficult, is we live in Oakland, which is a city that has tremendous need. We spent part of this last year talking to our local school principals and heard even about what some of their need is. And so why would we give time and energy and financial support to people who are so far away that most of us don't know when we have screaming need right outside our door?
That's a great question. I would say there are different types of mission. And I can't say that one mission is more important than the other. I can't say that a suffering school system is less important than a community suffering from mining contamination in Bolivia. But what I can say is that the same forces, the forces which cause these international issues, are the same forces of greed and power which are taking money from your schools and their hopes for an improved education system. The same idea of privatizing for profit can be seen from transnational to local companies as well as in school systems. What we need in confronting these issues is an international approach. It's important to see that what is happening in Montclair and its region is not an isolated event. It is connected to a bigger system which is creating similar problems in other places and countries. The church, the people of faith, as Jesus saw it, we are an instrument of advocacy. Yes, we are called to carry out local actions. These are necessary. It is not an either or answer or question, local or global. So in this, we also have to recognize that Jesus also rebuked a system of power over a voiceless society. He asked us, who is your neighbor? And who is our neighbor? Is it only the person down the street? Or especially in the hands of globalization, is it that peasant farmer in a developing country who is suffering from the same systemic structures that are affecting my own area? And to see that their needs are my needs, that we are all interconnected in this global village, and through God's love, we are called to care for creation, to care for all who live in it, our neighbors, and to work for its restoration. When you go to another country, or when you simply hear about another country's issues, your eyes are opened. You can see the breakdown in this international system and its complexity. But this is not the time to be overwhelmed and in despair and return to your own local bubble. This is the time, as Hunter Farrell, our director of PCUSA World Mission, said in our recent Joining Hands conference in Chicago last week, to see that we are being invited into a space to see what God is doing in our world, that mission is about taking risks and using our God-given energy to join with the heartbeat of God's justice and be transformed. We are broken and all need to be transformed. We are here to see that we do have alliances and neighbors in all parts of the world, and that joining hands is working to connect those alliances and neighbors in order to give power to the voiceless, those affected by these global systemic structures, teaching each other that we are working to create something new, new alternatives of how to live, which will affect not only my brother or sister who lives down the block, but also my brother and sister who live in other parts of the world. Working together and realizing that a change in these systemic structures is a change that will be felt beyond their local community. initiating a transformation of justice to which God calls us.
Amen. Thank you.